talk to us now and go to the TNT Radio Interactive live chat room at tntradio.live. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT. George Eliason on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And welcome to the Thursday show. Now, we've got news not in Ukraine or Russia, but beside Ukraine. Prince William makes a surprise visit to the troops near the Ukrainian border in Poland and thanks them for defending his freedoms. It was a secret visit to a military base, and he's thanking British troops in Poland for protecting the UK's freedoms. At the same time, they're sending depleted uranium shells. And, you know, we've got Russia's response on that. They're going to treat it like a dirty bomb. And, you know, there's reasons for that. Now, here's the thing that Britain's trying to push. It's not a nuclear weapon. Why are you saying this, Vlad? And according to the UN Institute for Disarmament Research, depleted uranium ammunition cannot be considered nuclear weapons. It says depleted uranium does not meet the legal definitions of nuclear, radiological, toxin, chemical, poison, or incendiary weapons. Why? Because it doesn't blow up and make a mushroom cloud. But we learned, especially from Iraq, the fallout from these weapons goes on for decades. And in terms of birth defects, illnesses, poisoning, it gets into the soil and the water system. And that's it for the society that lives in that area. So because it doesn't go boom, they are rejecting the comparison, which is just crazy. Now, a dirty bomb itself isn't a nuclear weapon. I don't know if you realize that or not. You have a bomb and you have contaminated material, and all the bomb does is spread the contaminated material. Of course, explosion blows up some stuff, you know, in the vicinity. But the big thing about it and why it's so scary is the contamination afterwards. And yeah, that's what these depleted uranium shells produce. Contamination. So for, you know, the UK or the UN or anyone else to say that this isn't the same as a dirty nuke, it's just crazy. And the ramifications, we talked about a little bit with D.D. Denslow yesterday. He's from the UK, and I asked him point blank, what would happen if Russia sold a dirty bomb to some country or person, and they blew it off in London? And, you know, there's one obvious answer. If London knew that Russia provided the weapon to do that, it would be war. So what is the expectation that Russia won't do the same thing? And that's the crazy part. We really need to get the leaders of our society, this woke generation, we need to rope these people in. And, you know, quite frankly, whatever schools they went to, we should think about closing them and opening up schools that, you know, actually teach these people that are going to be leaders. This is the real world in terms of facts, what we know, and this is what can happen, you know, when you make bad decisions. We'll see where it goes from there. But, you know, this whole bringing the 101st and the 82nd and this British formation on the Polish border, all it is just escalation. Every country knows that Vladimir Putin has absolutely no desire to go see Poland. And anyone saying otherwise, it's just part of the propaganda narrative today, which is just too bad. Now, why Prince William? Why specifically him? It seems the royals are making a stand. And it's actually not a very, very good one in light of the situation. And it's just too bad, because this type of escalation, they're going to keep running the line closer and closer to the edge. And with someone like Joe Biden in office right now, do we really need this? Do we really need this? Going over the edge can come in from any direction. Any one of these NATO countries can cross that line. And then what happens when they do? Oops, it was a mistake. I don't know. We need to rein this in. Now, for all the latest community events, rallies, marches, festivals, and fundraisers happening near you, visit the What's On events calendar on the TNT Radio website at tntradio.live. Stay in touch on TNT Radio.
Stay updated on everything you need to know.
They keep me up to date.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And we're back with TNT talk show host and producer, Dee Dee Denslow. Dee Dee, how are you today?
I'm very well, George. How are you, mate? I was just listening to you talking about the uranium shells, and if they're not considered nuclear weapons, then they are almost, they have to be considered chemical weapons, which are just as equally banned, correct?
Well, they are and they aren't. It's got its own special category. That's why they call it a dirty nuke, because it pushes contaminants. It spreads contamination throughout the area, wherever they go off. But if we're talking about specifically depleted uranium shells, you're looking at wide swaths of area that are no longer, agreeable. You can't farm there, you can't live there, you can't build there, and it's impossible to clean. Mm-hmm. So, generations from now, those areas will still be roped off like Chernobyl is today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just thinking, if they're not willing to classify them as falling under the umbrella of nuclear weapons, then surely just from the impact, the description that you described, which is what happened again. I'm a chemist, so I understand these things. Then surely they would be classed as chemical weapons.
Well, they're saying that they're falling short of that too.
Yeah, interesting. It sort of seems like they're trying to find a reason how they can use them.
It doesn't matter until it happens to you, I guess.
Yeah. Well, if they were fired at America, then they'll be like that. These are nuclear weapons, or these are chemical weapons, or whatever category they would want to use to sort of demonize their enemy with. Anyway, we've got my story today has nothing to do with Ukraine. However, you did touch on the nature of our politicians that we need to rope in, and I couldn't agree more. We're actually about to enter the local election cycle in my country, so I'll just take this opportunity very quickly to let the audience know I am actually standing as an independent candidate in my city after the recent events here. We need to get some of these political figures out. And that seems to be what's going on in France with their continual state of protest. Although, to be fair, France is always in a continual state of protest. But Macron has come out trying to defend his pension reforms. French President Emmanuel Macron has stood by his controversial pension reform in his first public remarks since pushing the measure through without the approval of lawmakers. He said the move, which has deepened ongoing unrest in the country, has been postponed for way too long by his predecessors. Macron was adamant about the decision to increase the retirement age in France from 62 to 64 in a televised interview on Wednesday. insisting his only mistake was failing to convince the people, which actually is his job, isn't it? His job is to convince the public that the laws and legislation that are put in place across his lands are good and beneficial to the people. When I started working, there were 10 million retirees. Today, there are 17 million. And by 2030, there'll be 20 million, Macron said. Do you really think we can continue with the same rules? And I would suggest, as a sort of semi-politician, maybe stop letting so many people into France. And then there might be more for the indigenous populations. The president criticized his predecessor, saying he could sweep dust under the rug like many before, but instead had opted to take the heat out of the long overdue changes. Do you think I enjoy doing this reform? No, Macron said, but there are not 100 ways to balance the accounts. This reform is not a luxury or a pleasure. It is a necessity for the country. And the statement, do you think I enjoy doing this reform, almost sounds like, you know, oh, you know, I'm sorry, this is going to hurt you a lot more than me. I don't mean to do it. I'm sorry. Which sometimes is the attitude of our punishers, our politicians these days. And as we have seen in France on social media during the day, sort of mainly hugely attended protests right across France from Bordeaux to Paris. And then at nights, the heat is up a bit. We see a lot of fire, arson, and some violence. And in particular, a lot of violence coming from the establishment's police force, the French Gestapo, who had a lot of training during the Yellow Vest movement of 2019, have been quite handy with their batons, George. But the French people are out in numbers still for nearly 2 weeks now. This has been going on. I suspect it will continue. Now, Macron has doubled down on his decision, which has been considered undemocratic, even by his own parliament, who he overridden with an executive order. And we've also seen things like fuel depots across France have been barricaded and shut down. And France is actually experiencing a shortage in its power output as a result of these demonstrations. So it's all kicking off in France. But sometimes it's not really, is that really much of a news story? Because they do like a protest and they do like a revolution over in France, George.
Yeah, they do. And yeah, they do indeed. And, you know, you brought up a good point with all the immigration going into France. You know, he's adding to his problem. You're hitting it on the head. That and cutting off cheaper energy supplies. It really would have, you know, I don't think France would be anywhere near where they are today in terms of the protests and whatnot. We've got to take a quick break. Didi, thanks for coming on today. I look forward to having you on tomorrow. When we come back, we'll have Floyd Brown, the founder of Western Journal, with us for the next 40 minutes. See you in a minute.
TNT Radio's Damian Richardson.
We caught up for a coffee yesterday, and it was really interesting to chat to her. She was unloading to me. She was talking about, you know, she said my great-grandfather fought in the First World War. He was mustard gassed. And then her grandfather fought in the Second World War. And she said, but here I was in Canberra being shot at by, you know, some directional energy weapon. And she started peeling as a result. And her skin was flaking, etc. Now, I had quite a few people describe similar circumstances to me. I have to admit, I was right at the forefront of that moment that people are talking about in Canberra, that really big rally, and I didn't have any experiences like that. So I want to just put that on the record. But I don't doubt that she would have had that experience, and she just thought, what has Australia come? come to? But I actually said to her, would you know, there's not many people from the arts that want to come on the show. Perhaps you'd like to come on the show. And she said, I can't. Sorry. You could see the vexation it caused her, because in one respect she would have loved to have done it, but in another respect she thought, no, it's too dangerous as far as earning a living is concerned for her. And this is the truth.
Damian Richardson on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
A better business tip from TNT Radio. The benefits of advertising on today's News Talk, TNT Radio, should be clear to businesses of any shape or size. It can be accessed anywhere, anytime, by anybody, and is the perfect way to build brand awareness and stimulate digital activity. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
Plug in.
Website?
TNTradio.live.
Check it out.
Today's News Talk Radio.
It's the coolest.
TNT.
And welcome back. Today we've got a special guest with us, Floyd Brown. He's the founder of the Western Journal and Citizens United. He's an American author, speaker, media commentator, and he's just finished a new groundbreaking book titled Counterpunch. Now, it's touted as the Christian answer to Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. Counterpunch outlines a strategy for mobilizing a peaceful resistance that leads to a collective action. Floyd, thanks for coming on today.
George, it's great to be with you.
Now, let's start with the book. Where can our audience find Counterpunch, an unlikely alliance of Americans fighting back for faith and freedom?
So they can find it first at Amazon. Counterpunch, mm-hmm. Floyd Brown. If you search on that, you'll find it. I also have a website called floydbrownbook.com, and they can find it there. But anywhere books are sold, they can generally find it. But Amazon is probably the easiest, even though it's not my favorite company, as you would read in the book. I talk quite a bit about big tech and the tech industrial complex that has been doing so much negative on America.
Well, they've been doing a lot of damage to the fabric of America. That's what they've been doing.
Yes. You're right.
Oh, go ahead, please.
My book focuses on a series of false narratives that have been promulgated over the course of the last 5 years. And the first one that I deal with is what I call the Uniparty. To really understand politics in the United States, you have to get out of this Republican versus Democrat paradigm, because it's a false paradigm, because usually the Republicans and the Democrats are working together. And the differences that they have are more theatrical than anything else. And so that's one of the false narratives. And, false narratives, I make this point in the book also, did not start with Barack Obama. I mean, George Bush was great with some false narratives. Here's a couple of Bush false narratives. One was, quote, there are weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Well, we now know that just isn't true. And, how about this false narrative? For 20 years, every year they would analyze what the U.S. was doing in Afghanistan, and they would tell us, quote, we're making progress in Afghanistan. We know that in that 20 years, we didn't make any progress in Afghanistan. So the government uses false narratives in order to grow itself and to take away freedom from the people. And people are more familiar with the false narratives around COVID. The first one being that we're all going to die from COVID. But secondly, they protected Red China. They didn't want us to know it came from the Wuhan lab. They didn't want us to know that Fauci in America was involved in funding that Wuhan lab. There have been so many false narratives over the last 5 years. It's almost hard to name them all.
No, that's exactly right. And it's been going on, as you said, you can take it back to Bush. Now, I'd go as far back as Clinton and maybe some of Bush Sr. Would you agree with that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I agree. Well, the first, you know, Iraq war came in Bush Sr., H.W. Bush. And what's really interesting is if you look at the parallels between the way that the U.S. kind of forced Russia into Ukraine, they did the same thing. If you actually go back and look at what Saddam Hussein said and what we were telling Saddam Hussein about when he went into Kuwait. So there are tremendous parallels about how, you know, we told Saddam Hussein we weren't going to do anything if he went into Kuwait. And we actually encouraged him in the same way in Ukraine. It's very clear that we had agreements with Russia and Ukraine that meant that Ukraine was not going to be part of NATO. It wasn't going to be part of this, you know, pan-European experiment. And in fact, we gave Russia security guarantees at the time the Berlin Wall came down that NATO wasn't going to expand past Germany. And when East Germany joined NATO, you know, that we never contemplated that the Baltic states would join NATO or that Poland would join NATO, and that all of this border would keep moving closer and closer and closer to Moscow. And so, you know, I understand why Putin felt threatened by first the coup that we organized in Ukraine, where they took down an elected government. And then what they had been doing since then. So I think that part of the problem that Americans have had is that we have been so naive, and we have listened when our government officials and leaders have said things to us when they've just been totally fabricating the facts.
Now, since you brought up Ukraine, I'm curious, what's your take on the fact that Zelensky outlawed what's probably the oldest denomination of Christianity on the planet and replaced it
with a politicized religion? Zelensky is not a friend of freedom. You know, that's the first thing you have to...
No, not at all.
No, I mean, it's all propaganda. Zelensky was... created. He was an actor selected to play a part, and we have funded the whole thing from the very beginning. We took down an elected government in Ukraine and installed the Zelensky government, and then manipulated the elections after that. So, you know, America's hands are very, very dirty, and literally forced Putin's hands. And I know Putin did go into Ukraine. That's obvious. But you know, if you ignore the way that we basically forced his hand to come into Ukraine, you're not a student of the actual geopolitical situation that Moscow has been dealing with over the course of the last really several decades since the Berlin Wall came down.
And, you know, I agree with you 100%.
Russia, just like the United States, has the right to protect itself. And, you know, what's so amazing to me is our border here in America is like a sponge. There's no border anymore. Literally everybody's coming over. It doesn't matter. There's, you know, Iranians coming into our country. There's Chinese coming into our country. You know, you're naive if you think it's just about some Mexican farm workers that want to come into America. It's not about the Mexicans. It's about literally fifth columns of people coming into the country that we don't know what they're up to.
You're exactly right. And they actually caught at least one group of Ukrainian nationalists coming across, believe it or not. you know, in terms of the border, I talked to, oh gosh, I forget his name. I did an interview a few months ago, and they said that the problem Texas is having with that is that enough of the border itself is on federal land, and they're not allowed to build on it. The material is there, but they can't do anything with it.
Well, that's here in Arizona. The problem we have is there's an Indian reservation that's nestled up to the border. And that particular band of Indians, which was invented in the 1970s, it's not a historic band of Indians. They claim that they live on both sides of the border. And so this Indian reservation has traditionally been used for human trafficking, for drug trafficking. And so since it's, quote, a Indian reservation, they claim that they're sovereign. Then that's why we haven't had a border built on that huge section here in Arizona. And you're absolutely correct. There is a lot of federal land at the border. There is different things that are blocking it. And I know that at some point, there is going to be a governor. I'd hoped it would be Carrie Lake, who would have the fortitude to stand up to the federal government and say, this is my border also. This is the border to my state. My state has sovereignty, and so I am going to build a border wall and keep people out. That's what a governor has to do. A governor has to understand he has the rights in order to protect his own border or her own border. And hopefully we'll have the courage in a governor to do that soon.
Well, you know, my response to the Indians would be really simple. Well, you know, if that's the case, we'll just build the wall north of your reservation.
Yeah, that's probably what Carrie Lake might have done, is built a wall around the entire reservation. I was involved in those talks, and that was one of the options that was on the table. But the problem then is the Indians wouldn't have access to the United States. Now, wouldn't that
well,
be
you
an
could set up a
outcome?
Well, you could set up a border control, give them a gate, border control, so they could come in. That way they're on their land, which is separate, and they can come onto, you know, regular U.S. soil.
Yeah. So one of the things, George, that I tried to do in the book is explain to people why in my lifetime there's been four wave elections where conservatives have supposedly recaptured government, and why we've made no real progress during that time. I, as a young man, got involved in the Reagan Revolution and went to Washington, D.C. in my 20s and took a job in the Reagan administration. And even though, you know, Reagan was a great president, he didn't reorder the way the federal government operates. And then in 1994, we had Newt Gingrich in the Contract for America, and that was a wave election. And we believed that we were going to change or reorder the way the government functioned. Right. And it change anything. Same with the Tea Party. In 2009, I traveled around as the founder of Western Journal to at least 100 Tea Party rallies around the country, and that led to the wave election of 2010, and still no systemic change in the government. And then, of course, 2016, when Donald Trump came in, not only did he win the presidency, but we won the House and the Senate, and still we couldn't even repeal Obamacare. So why is this? And part of my thesis in the book is because conservatives always go at this backwards. We're expecting some guy to ride into Washington, D.C. on his white horse, whether it's Donald Trump or Ronald Reagan or Newt Gingrich, and they're going to change the country from the top down. That's not the way change happens. It happens from the grassroots up. Exactly. Conservatives were shocked this year when they found out that a bunch of LGBTQ activists are running school boards all over America. Here in Glendale, Arizona, there's the Washington School District, and the woman running it identified as a cat. And, you know, these LGBTQ activists don't even have kids. So why are they running all these school boards? Well, the truth is because the way the left operates, because they worship government, they always run for these local offices. And so, you know, they run for everything from justice of the peace to school board to town council to assembly to state legislature. And a lot of times conservatives, oh, they're always focused on who's going to be president. And that's the backwards way to do it. So part of why I feel good about the future is that we're finally waking up to that. And we did have a wave election here in 2022. It was in school boards. We had school board after school board after school board elections where things were very positive for conservatives and people of traditional values. So we are seeing change at the local level. It's also very hard for them to steal thousands of elections in over 3,000 counties. There's 3,100 counties in America, and most of those counties can be controlled by conservatives if we will get out and do the work. And another thing I also talk about quite a bit is shame on the mega churches that are across from the schools that have their school boards run by LGBTQ activists. Why is it? It's because a lot of these pastors were telling people, quote, politics is dirty and you don't want to be involved in that. And I think we're seeing that change, and that conservatives are getting involved on the local level at record numbers. And part of what I try to do is encourage more of that.
Well, you know, I actually thought it was going the other way. They were trying to get them super hyped up into politics. That was for a while. That was like the mid-2000s.
Yeah, not at most churches.
Telling people to not get involved into deciding who is going to lead their town, state, or country is irresponsible at best, right? Will you agree with that?
Absolutely. It's completely irresponsible. And the pastors that did it because they said politics is dirty, you know, shame on them for doing it.
Now I can see why that you're considered, it's the book's being compared to Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, because, you know, this is something that's necessary. You see, some actors out there are already doing this, trying to motivate people to vote, we'll say, organizers.
Right. And you're seeing more local groups than ever before. And what I try to encourage people to do is to start organizing in their neighborhood, on their street, you know, meet and talk about the issues, meet and talk about what you have to do to protect and defend your own neighborhood. Okay. This needs to start hyper local. And then we take back the country literally street by street, neighborhood by neighborhood, town
well,
by
how
town.
Do they go about that?
Well, boy, they do it by taking over the town council and taking over the county sheriff and taking over the county auditor's job. So these local elections, you know, most of the time we don't win them because we don't show up and have candidates.
Right. But a lot of people, you know, the flip side of that is they wouldn't know how to even begin the process of doing that. You're saying organize on your street, talk to people on your street.
Right. And so I highlight different groups that are doing that. Like right here in my community, we have a group called the North Valley Constitutional Conservatives. And that group meets, you know, every other Monday night at the Amped Coffee Shop. And they sit down and they bring in local speakers and they talk about the key issues and they meet. And as a result, this community will be protected no matter what happens. They got involved in the local legislative races. They made sure that friends of the organization were elected to the state legislature here in Arizona. And it's that kind of local work that is really going to change things. They knocked on doors. They met their neighbors. They got to know people. See, what the left seeks to do is to isolate everybody. That's why they told us all to hide in our houses during COVID. They don't want people communicating. They don't want neighbors communicating. And that's why their candidates, you know, don't even go out and campaign anymore. They sit in a basement, whether it's Katie Hobbs that ran for governor here in Arizona, or whether it's Joe Biden that ran for president that way, or Fetterman who ran for Senate in Pennsylvania. They literally hide their candidates. They keep them closeted away because they don't want people to know how radical they really are.
You know, I thought Biden took the cake during the election itself. Riding with Biden, where are you riding with him? He's in the basement, like you said. But then, you know, as you said, Hobbs and Fetterman came up, and I mean, it's one monstrosity after the other. How do you think they got away with that? How could you go to the polls, look at Fetterman's name after seeing him, knowing that, you know, and I'm not making fun of him because, I mean, he looks like a great B-movie character, but that's beside the point.
I mean, I feel sorry for the man. He's had multiple strokes. And,
when you put your name out there, when you put yourself out there, okay, it's you. So, okay, feel bad for him, had strokes. Poor guy, had strokes. Running for office, don't feel bad no more. I feel bad if you get elected because you cannot do the job and your state needs you to do the job. And it should be your state that needs you to do the job, not someone like Nancy Pelosi. And I think that needs to change in the U.S. government these days.
Right.
That needs to be the big change, term limits. But yeah, how could you vote for someone like this?
And, part of it has to do with the way they've manipulated elections with all of these fake mail-in ballots. You know, mailing ballots to people that have died, mailing ballots to people that have moved, mailing ballots to people that aren't legitimate voters, and then all of those ballots being voted. So, you know, there's multiple things that have to change, but one place they haven't really been able to steal elections is in hyper local offices. And one of the things that I bring up is that local officials have not only a right to refuse to follow federal and state mandates, they have a duty to not follow mandates that they consider to be unconstitutional and against the constitutional order. And so a lot of this is getting people into those local offices and then getting them in the state offices that will actually actively resist against the the higher authorities, and we're seeing more and more of that, and that's where I believe a bright future exists.
Now, Floyd, we've got to take a quick break, and when we get back, I want you to define resist, because that has, since 2020, that has some really interesting context to it. I'm George Eliason. We're with, oh my gosh, I am having a brain fart, Floyd Brown. And I'm sorry about that, Floyd. We'll be right back after these messages.
Another member of the ruling class elite praises China, saying we should all be emulating China's climate and government policies.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
President Joe Biden's Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm has added her name to the list of people who praise China.
But I think China has done, has been very sensitive and has actually invested a lot in their solutions to achieve their goals. So we're hopeful that, you know, we can all learn from what China is doing.
Yes, the same China that's building a coal plant a week, that's engaging in rare earth mining, all while doing it with the lowest human rights and environmental standards on the planet. Secretary Granholm adds her name to a list of people, including New York Times columnist, United Nations climate chief Justin Trudeau, the Apple CEO, all praising China's one-party rule and climate policies. No wonder the elites love COVID lockdowns so much. It allowed the once free West to emulate one-party authoritarian Chinese rule. This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
A new research by John R. Lott Jr., president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, published in the peer-reviewed Journal of Public Choice, found evidence of around 255,000 excess votes, possibly as many as 368,000 for Joe Biden in six swing states, where Donald Trump lodged accusations of fraud. Biden only carries these states, Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, by a total of 313,253 votes. Excluding Michigan, the gap was 159,065. Courts have rejected challenges to the 2020 presidential vote, generally citing the lack of evidence that any alleged fraud would have altered the outcome in a particular state. Republican plaintiffs argued that since their observers couldn't watch the vote counts or were prevented from seeing other evidence, they couldn't provide such proof without investigations backed by subpoena power. Still, while some judges have agreed that irregularities occurred in 2020, they weren't willing to grant discovery in the absence of evidence that fraud could reverse the election results.
No propaganda, no lies, and definitely no BS. You're with George Eliason on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back, and we're with Floyd Brown, the founder of the Western Journal today. And Floyd, I'm really sorry for flubbing that before the break. I was actually looking at
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it for a second, because at 62, I forget a lot of things too.
Well, thank you. Before you answer that question, though, for listeners that aren't familiar with the Western Journal, now, it's what? He started it in 2009, and according to Newsweek, there was like 1,000 page views a day. By 2016, The Intercept reported that the Western Journal now outranks traffic for publications like the Wall Street Journal, CBS News, NPR. And that's official data. Western Journal is a premier news and analysis site worldwide. And that's something to be very, very proud of.
Well, I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful about it.
You've done a spectacular job. I do a lot of investigative journalism. I write a lot of articles, but what I write is way too long form to submit to you. I mean, you know, looking at, 20, 30,000 words, an article, so.
Right. Well, hey, God bless you for doing that kind of work, George. That takes real work. Well, I know somebody that has been writing for quite a while, how much work 20,000 words is. So God bless you.
Well, I understand how much work it takes to build a publication this stellar. And it is stellar. Let's get back to the question, because I wanted to make sure the audience knew, okay, you have street creds when you talk about this. Now, we're talking about the resistance. Well, we first met the resistance as a mainstream term in 2020. And it wasn't pretty. Cities burned. Federal courthouses were attacked. Police were attacked. All these things happened. Okay. Now, what are we talking about in terms of a resistance?
Yeah. When I say resistance, I say peaceful resistance. And really, I write quite a bit in the book about Martin Luther King. And I quote things like his letter from the Birmingham jail, where, he was really able, through peaceful resistance, to be able to end Jim Crow in America. And it's really an amazing story. And it's because I believe his strong Christian ideas and Christian beliefs, that they were able to do it peacefully. And so, you know, when I think of resistance, I don't want nor encourage anyone to engage in acts of vandalism or violence of any kind. It all needs to be peaceful. And if you remember back to the civil rights movement, it was peaceful on the part of the people trying to sit, you know, in the front of the Birmingham bus, but it got violent on the part of law enforcement that was striking right. out against them. And you know, and I still believe and am very, very, I think that the record is very clear that the people on January 6th that went to the Capitol were there to peacefully protest, but that in fact there was a federal operation of FBI officials, and there was people that were bussed down by Antifa from Baltimore, then, and those people were the ones that engaged in the violence. And whether you, when you look at the people that broke through those windows, many of them were dressed in that black Antifa garb, and these weren't people that were there in support of President Trump. These were people that were specific operators. Some of them had been hired by the federal government to engage in nefarious activities, and it was intended to paint a narrative or a picture that could be used by Nancy Pelosi and by Mitch McConnell and by Chuck Schumer and by the other elites in the country and the news media to paint Donald Trump as an insurrectionist and to paint his exactly. supporters in the same way. And you know, I have spent literally hundreds of hours looking at video footage from that day. And I think that if you really study it, and I wish Tucker hadn't been stopped by the higher ups at Fox News from continuing to share more of that video. And I'm hopeful that much more of that video will come out, which shows that the MAGA movement, the America First movement, was not responsible for what happened on January 6th. Now, there was one very large unconstitutional act that took place that day, and that is the fact that when they actually held the vote, they didn't have a quorum in the Senate or the House in order to confirm Biden's election as president. So I think an argument can be made that he was not really legally confirmed because the quorums, which are required by the U.S. Constitution, were not met when they held that vote.
What good would that do us right now, going into the 2024 election season? How would that help us?
How would what help us?
Well, the fact that they didn't have a quorum to
I just think it's important to know. I mean, when you history. So part of what I go into the book about is it's important for us to get an accurate picture of history. History is written in three waves. It's first written by the reporters that write it that day. That's what we do at Western Journal. Then there is a group of people that write history that's more reflective on what was written on the day, and that's really what I try to do in the book is write an accurate, longer form history. My book's about 350 pages long, and I deal with these different narratives and I deal with this history because if people don't understand their history, they can't make changes that reflect the mistakes that were made in the past. So I do talk about mistakes.
100%.
It's you know, Is it going to help us in an election? No, not at all. But it's important for people to understand what really went on.
Now, I want to make a point about aware of. Two of the three break-ins, there was Ukrainian nationalist group Azov there. There's actually video of them running up to the window, screaming in Ukrainian, being followed by a major Ukrainian news agency and filmed. And yeah, that was consumption in Ukraine. And I actually cornered the Azov commander that's in charge of agitation. He flew into Ecuador on January 7th. He stayed there for one day and flew out with Poroshenko. And they were running attempted coups in Bolivia and what other country? Ecuador at the time. It was two or three other countries. And on January 7th, Chris Ray was asked about, you know, Azov in Newsweek. And he said, yeah, they're doing terrorist acts in the United States right now. Well, when did that ever make the news?
Yeah, no, and it should make the news. So that response. I hadn't even seen reporting on that, George. So send it to me. That's amazing. And that is the type of investigative work that's really important and needs to be done.
You want Chris Ray's statements? Sure, I'll send it to you.
Yeah, no, I'd love to. I'd love to, that they're actually committing terrorism in America. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, they run around trying to get people wearing a Trump hat at the FBI, which is just outrageous. People that wear Trump hats do that as a statement that they love America and love this country and would sacrifice themselves for the country.
Now, we've got 4 minutes left. Would Donald Trump make a difference? Now, you've got where Trump left off and Joe Biden has taken us since 2020, okay, since 2021. He's done a lot of damage. Can a one-term president turn things like energy or the economy around?
Well, Donald Trump did turn a lot of things around in his one term, despite being opposed by
I agree
100% the House and the Uniparty. So the first thing you have to understand about politics is the Uniparty and that Republicans and Democrats work together to preserve this order. And when you understand that, you'll understand that Donald Trump is the only candidate for public office that isn't part of that Uniparty. And so that's why he has the potential to do a lot of good. And why if I get the opportunity to vote for him, I personally will vote for him. But the way this really changes is by people getting involved at the local level and by making changes in their town, in their county. Sheriffs can do a lot of great work at the low levels, and they in their official capacity can resist. For example, in Washington state right now, they've passed, you know, gun legislation at the state level, and county sheriffs in half the state say we're just not going to enforce it. That's the kind of resistance that over the long term can have real impact in the country.
Well, that's the kind of thing that, you know, honestly, I've been trying to articulate that in that direction for a long time. But politics on the local level is outside my wheelhouse, you know, and I'm in Donbass in the middle of a war zone right now. I have been since, 2014. So, you know, keeping up to speed here and with American politics, sometimes it's a little trying because you're, you know, there's a point of separation there. But right. what well, you're saying, everything you're saying is what needs to be done. Is there anything you'd like to add? We've got about a minute left.
Well, you know, I encourage people to order the book. It's on pre-order right now at Amazon. And I always give people my personal guarantee. If you find that the book doesn't live up to its billing, then I will personally refund your money that you spent to buy it. But you have to read it. And I will quiz you to make sure you read it before I give you your
Floyd,
refund.
Thank you.
How's that?
Thank you so much for coming on today. I'd like to have you back soon.
I look forward to it.
Thanks again. This is TNT Talk Radio, and we'll see you tomorrow.